I want to start out in Genesis this evening. And the fifth chapter, I just want to read a couple verses there. Verses 8 and 9. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? In 1 Nephi, in the second chapter, on page, this is on page 20, this is the part of Lehi's vision. I want to go through some of that here. Starting with verse 44. And it came to pass that I saw a man, and he was dressed in a white robe, and he came and stood before me. And it came to pass that he spake unto me and bade me follow him. And it came to pass that as I followed him, I beheld myself that I was in a dark and dreary place. And after I had traveled for a space of many hours in darkness, I began to pray unto the Lord, that he would have mercy on me according to the multitude of his tender mercies. And it came to pass, after I had prayed unto the Lord, that I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And we're told that that tree is the love of God. The love of God to us, to each other. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and I beheld that it was sweet above all that I had ever before tasted. We would desire that we could partake of that love of God as he did, as Lehi did here. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white, which would indicate purity and truth, to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Wherefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also. For I knew that it was desirable above all other fruits. And that if we can partake of that, and we know it, then we would desire that our families would also know of that fruit. And as I cast my eyes round about, that perhaps I might discover my family also, I beheld a river of water. And it ran along, and it was near the tree of which I was partaking the fruit. And I looked to behold from whence it came. I saw the head thereof a little way off, and at the head thereof I beheld your mother Sarah, and Sam, and Nephi, as they stood, as if they knew not whither they should go. And it came to pass that I beckoned unto them, and I also did say unto them with a loud voice that they should come unto me and partake of the fruit, which was desirable above all other fruits. And it came to pass that they did come unto me and partake of the fruit also. Wouldn't that be joyous to have our families come and partake of that fruit? 59 says, and it came to pass that I was desirous that Laman and Lemuel should come and partake of the fruit also. Wherefore I cast mine eyes towards the head of the river, and perhaps I might see them there, or see them. And it came to pass that I saw them, but they would not come unto me and partake of the fruit. How sad that they would not partake of that fruit. And I beheld, and Jim, I do thank you for that song. It was beautiful. Talking about the rod of iron in there. And I beheld a rod of iron. We know what that is. That is the Word of God. The words that we have given to us to guide us toward that tree. And it extended along the bank of the river, and it led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people. Many of them were pressing forward that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commence in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness. You know, that's the temptations of the world, the temptations that the devil puts before us. And I'm afraid that we are in a mist of darkness and do not always see clearly the path. That's why we need this rod of iron, isn't it? Yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they who had commenced on the path did lose their way and wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and it came to pass, and they came forth and caught hold on the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron. We must cling to the Word of God, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes round about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building. And we're told later in Nephi's vision that's the vain imaginations of the world. The world and its folly. The world and its leadings. And it stood as if it were in the air high above the earth. And it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those who had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell into forbidden paths and were lost. And isn't that a possibility that we face in our lives too? That once, even though we partake of this fruit, we have followed the rod of iron, and we partake of the fruit, that we can become ashamed because of the mocking and jeering of the world. And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught the end of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward continually, holding fast to the rod of iron, until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. Let me skip a few verses here. Verse 86, and it came to pass after my father had spoken all the words of this his dream or vision, which were many, he said unto us, because of these things which he saw in a vision, he exceedingly feared for Laman and Lemuel. and I know many of us have those among us that we exceeding fear for. Yea, he feared lest they should be cast off from the presence of the Lord. And he did exhort them then with all the feelings of a tender parent, that they would hearken to his words, that perhaps the Lord would be merciful to them and not cast them off. Yea, my father did preach unto them, and after he had preached unto them, he also prophesied unto them of many things. He bade them to keep the commandments of the Lord. He was concerned with his family. He was concerned with those of his loved ones. And we desire what is good for our loved ones, and we want them to partake also, but not all of them will. We are our brothers, our mothers, our fathers, our children, our loved ones' keepers. We need each other. We need each other to help us know what this pathway of where this rod of iron is, and how to partake, and how to stay there, and how to keep the world from having its way with us, the devil having his way with us. Many places in the scripture it tells how the Israelites were stiff-necked, and they would not hearken to the counsel. So it's nothing new. The Pharisees and Sadducees thought they had all the knowledge of the day set in stone. But they didn't receive the word that the Lord himself told unto them. To help a little bit. Elma, we read quite often of his counsels to his sons and others. So it's nothing new that we would want to need to counsel those of our children, of our loved ones, in several cases of our mothers and fathers, of our church families, our brothers and sisters in the church, who oft times do not attend with us. We need to set aside these things of the world because they are drawing us away. In Mormon, the fourth chapter, and 53rd verse, it says, "Why do you not think that greater is the value of endless happiness than the misery which never dies because of the praise of the world?" You know, why do we think, why would anyone ever think that that praise of the world is better than endless happiness? Matthew 13. I'm going to read the parable here of the sower. Starting in the third verse here, it says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." We need to make sure that our people are not left by the wayside. We need to encourage and help them that they can take hold of this rod of iron and partake of that fruit, that they're not left by the wayside. Verse 5 says, some fell upon stony places, for they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. You know, these stony places, I don't know, maybe you could say it's the scattered members are in stony places. Those are people that have come from troubled families. Yeah, I'd say they were in stony places. Those who have been more out in the world than in church, their families surely are in stony places. And they need a great deal of watering until that stone can be broken up into soil and they can start growing. Some need a whole lot more nurturing than others. And this would be one bad thing about being scattered or far away from a local. That's one big advantage that we have here. It says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And I relate the thorns maybe to peer pressure. The pressure of our peers, the glamour of worldly things, those things will choke us out if we let it. And if we see a brother or sister where these things are being choked out, choking them out, we need aid, come to their aid. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. So we have a local here. We have two locals here in this town. And we need to make sure that they are good ground where they will keep, where they, those who have come once will keep coming back, and they will grow, and they will bear fruit. Enoch tells of a group of people that needed to be stirred up continually. Nephites at that time needed to be stirred up continually with very sharp words to keep them in the straight and narrow. But some do. Some need more than others. But we need to try to reach each one of them and keep them and bring others in. In Isaiah, we're told to study Isaiah. There's some very complicated things there that are hard to understand. But I want to read a couple of verses from the 44th chapter. Verse 15. I think. Let's see. Make sure I'm in the right place. Well, maybe I won't be able to find that. Well, what I was looking for, and I wish I could get the wording of it the way I wanted, but it tells there that a woman can't forget her children. Basically, it's saying that. And it's relating it, of course, to something else, but it's true that a woman cannot forget her children. And then it says there that they say that it has been too straight for them. S-T-R-A-I-T. The restrictions have been too great. And so they tend to want to leave and have nothing to do with the rod of iron and the tree of life. So let's go to Ephesians 6. And the first three verses of chapter 6 say, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." You know, young people need one day to leave mother and father and live their own life. But in those things where the soul is at stake, they still need to be directed. If my mother saw something in me that needed to be changed because I was doing wrong, I hope she would send it. I hope she would send it. I'm old enough to know better. Maybe some of our younger children are not. Oh, yes, they are. But they still do need to be directed. Each one of us do. Each one of us do. And we need to receive direction from our church family and help from each other, too. You know that where it says, "Honor thy mother and thy father"? That should go on for a lifetime. It should not be done when they grow up. 1 Peter, 4th chapter. The 14th verse says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." Or at least they'd be happy. "For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." In verse 15 it says, the last part says, it says there basically, "But let none of you suffer," couple other things, "or as a busybody in other men's matters." So there is a line there, isn't it, that we have to be careful of how we help others to follow the right way. Because we can be a busybody. We can just think we gotta have it all our way, and everything they do is wrong, and they have to be guided by it. Every little detail. You know, church is where we gain training, right? Where we gain training to follow the Lord. Home is where children gain training. In John 10:14 it says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. You need to recognize Christ. You need to learn that. You know, train people. Someone that's trained in gems, for instance, a diamond. They can tell a diamond from an imitation. We need to be trained to recognize Christ. We need to be trained to recognize good and righteousness. Training is teaching, and we do need to teach each other. You know, our children oftentimes are not here. And I'm afraid that it's because some of the time you and I, have not been a good example to them. You know, in the past, several years ago, there was a standard of righteousness in this nation, in this world, that we don't have today. Families must be stronger than ever. And I want to impress that upon those who still have young families at home. Families must be stronger than ever. They have to train their children in the way they should go and hope that, as the scriptures say, when they are trained that way, that they would not depart therefrom. There are so many things out there pulling us away, pulling them away. We need to be strong. And actually, we need to set the example. And the example, I think, would include prayer with the family. It would include taking time with the family. I know oftentimes I did not take anywhere near the time with my family that I should have. Amos 5, 15 says, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate, that it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. You know, when I see that word established judgment, it means to me, I take that to mean, keep right. Teach what is right and what is wrong to each other. Establish judgment. Galatians 6. I'll read the first 10 verses there. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, resort such an one in the spirit of meekness. We're supposed to. If we see someone overtaken in a fault, it says, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness. Do it meekly. But then it says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So there's a danger there that when we are helping someone, when we see a fault in someone, that we can be tempted and drawn away. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we see a brother or a sister, a son or a daughter, a mother or a father, a brother or sister in the gospel, with a burden, it's our responsibility to help. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the world word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, partaking of the lust and evil of the world, says, soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In well-doing. Or in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Unto all men. Especially. Especially, it says. I'd underline that. I'd bold it. Because I think it's very important. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. James 5. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Pray. Prayer, very important. Maybe not quite as righteous as we should be. I would hope that the most righteous people would pray for me. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Matthew 25:34, starting with verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you and the foundation from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it
unto one of the least of these my brethren ye have done it unto me. Who are our brethren? All people? Yes. Especially those of the household of faith. We need to help each other. Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Verses 29 to 31 say, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. And I think the word wait there might be better translated serve. Those that serve the Lord. Those that do those things that we just talked about in Matthew. Those who help each other. You know, I believe that a candidate for baptism should know right up front that if he or she strays from the truth, if they don't attend church regularly, if they are doing wrong, then they will be labored with. You know, so often it seems that someone is baptized and they get off a little bit and don't come to church. Pretty soon they haven't been to church for a long time, so it's very difficult for them to return. Sometimes they're found doing things that they should not do. Sometimes they move away, which is very difficult. But if they knew when they made that commitment in the waters of baptism that they would be labored with, they should know it's coming when they get away a little bit, shouldn't they? Each of us should have the love for each other to help each other stay on that straight and narrow path, that path of righteousness. You know, maybe I haven't addressed the hardest part. That's the one being labored with, or the one needing correction. You know, it's very, very difficult for a person, for any of us, to put down that pride and say, that says, stay out of my business. It is pride that does that. Again, we do have to be very careful in talking to others, but it's important that we do work together, and bring those back that are straying to some degree or other. The golden rule, Matthew 7:12, says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. If I were truly in the right frame of mind, and someone came to me, you notice I said if, and told me where I was straying, I should accept that. I should be happy that they have that love for me to get me back on that straight and narrow path. We should desire help if we stray. God wants to give us good things, and He can do that through each other, can't He? We are and should be bound to each other through Christ. We need to look out for each other. We are our brother's keepers.